Into the Fold is a podcast of the Haug Foundation for Mental Health. The Haug Foundation is a strategic grant maker on a mission to transform how Texas communities promote mental health in everyday life. We're based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. Hello, everyone. This is Ike Evans of the Haug Foundation, coming to you from City Hall in downtown Austin, Texas. In July of 2019, the city of Austin, Texas, enacted a significant change in how it will work with people experiencing homelessness by effectively decriminalizing the act of sitting, laying, or camping in some public places. The policy changes raised eyebrows and even some concerns from business owners and other members of the community. It even led to a public rebuke from Texas Governor Greg Abbott. This scenario helps illustrate why it can be difficult even for a progressive city to make itself more welcoming and hospitable for a stigmatized group of people. Creating spaces that are inclusive of everyone in the community is a big part of what the Haug Foundation means by community well-being. For people experiencing homelessness, many of whom live with mental health challenges, decriminalizing some survival behaviors and breaking the cycle of incarceration and release back onto the streets could be a first step toward greater independence and well-being. But some aren't convinced that the potential benefits outweigh the risks to the health and safety of the broader community. Joining us for this episode, we are honored to have Austin Mayor Steve Adler, one of the strongest and most vocal proponents of the new policy. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let us talk about this new policy. How did it come about, and what evidence is it based on?
I think we have in our city, among the many concerns and opportunities, concerns about improving the quality of life for those in our community that are experiencing homelessness, as well as a concern for our public spaces. Quite frankly, in Austin, there are challenges for folks that are experiencing homelessness seem to be getting greater. The number of people in our community experiencing homelessness has been increasing over the last 5 years. Although I would incidentally notice at the same level it was at 10 years ago. We know that we're not doing right by those in our community that are experiencing homelessness. There are about 2,200 people on any given night that are homeless in our city, and in a city that is as rich and powerful as Austin ought to be able to do better for those people. We know that what we are doing right now has some successes. We know what works in terms of getting people into homes so that they can stabilize their lives, be safe, receive social services. We know that we've been successful with getting to net effective zero for veterans. So we know we have formulas that can work if we have the resources to put against them. Last year, we took half of the homeless children off our streets. But some of what we're doing is not helping at all, and in fact, probably hurting. The ordinances that we have in our city that criminalized merely being homeless. Preserving ordinances against folks that were creating public health risks, maintaining our ordinances that were directed toward protecting us from public safety risks and hazards. Those we've kept in place. But criminalizing someone just for being homeless was not something that was either helping that person or helping the community in any way generally. What we had were a set of ordinances where our public safety police officers were effectively either ticketing and arresting people, which created criminal records for people that weren't doing anything to harm or threaten anyone else. They were moving these folks around the city with threat of arrests and tickets, which really didn't help because when they move from here, they just end up there. And and the same challenge exists there as they move around. We were in a position, we were asking people to move, but we did not have an answer to the question, well, if you don't want me here, then where is it that you want me to be? And it's incumbent upon a community to ensure that there are safe places for people, part of the fabric and network of society. And we were a city that for too long has been comforting in itself with answering half of that question. We can move you along, but we don't have the answer to the other question. So I think it was looking at cities like Los Angeles and Seattle that have really reached a place where they have challenges and a divided community. I'm not even sure what you do in those communities to really fundamentally help the people that need the support. But in Austin, we were looking at the things we were doing that worked and the things that we were doing that did not work. And all we did was say, we're not going to keep doing some of the things that aren't working. But also, at the same time that we changed our policies and said we're no longer going to decriminalize, we're no longer going to criminalize people who have nowhere else to go, at the same time we asked our manager to start coming back with what we needed to do to actually provide better, safer places for people so that they would have a place to be able to go that better protected them and for those that were able to help reintegrate them back into society.
Okay, and for our listeners, we are coming at you from the mayor's office at City Hall, so apologies for all of the background and traffic noise that you might be hearing. We'll do our best to minimize it. My next question, Mr. Mayor, in a nutshell, what will people experiencing homelessness be allowed to do that they couldn't previously?
Right now, under our ordinances, as they were changed, someone who is homeless is not engaging in criminal activity just from being. Certainly, if somebody starts threatening or aggressively going after or impeding or blocking or creating a public health hazard or public safety risk, that behavior is not something that's acceptable in any society, including ours. But in our city now, people cannot be forced to move just because they're homeless if they're not otherwise engaging in some illegal conduct.
Okay. So what can you say about the effect that the policy will have on the city's overall livability and well-being? And what are some positives for those who are not personally affected by homelessness?
I think that the policy direction that the council has established is going to have real considerable positive impacts on overall livability and well-being, because it's forcing the community to actually deal with the underlying and substantive challenge. Rather than being able just to move people around or arrest people because they are happening to experiencing conditions that have put them into place where they're homeless, we're now going to spend our resources on finding safe and good shelters for people and housing exits from those shelters into homes, providing support services and resources on an individualized basis so that people get the support and assistance that they need.
Okay. So even though the image of people camping on sidewalks has gotten all the attention, and you just mentioned housing. So are there any less well-known aspects of the city's approach to homelessness that people should be aware of? I'm thinking in particular about mental health. Back in April, we put out a podcast that was titled Mental Health and Housing, The Need for Alternatives. In that conversation, my guest, our policy specialist, Tanya Lavelle, discussed the connection between homelessness and the lack of meaningful housing options for people with mental health challenges. And our focus for that episode was on state policy, But I just wonder if the city has anything in the works that, you know, that addresses the problem.
Well, it's a significant challenge, and we're doing as many things as we can, and certainly we need to be doing more. But Integral Care is opening 50 supportive housing units this fall. This is adjacent to a clinic for mental and physical health issues. The city continues to increase its funding for its host teams. That's the homeless outreach street teams. These are interdisciplinary teams of folks, including APD officers and counselors, service providers out on our street, providing also mental health officers to accompany those groups on downtown and West Campus patrols, engaging with folks that are experiencing homelessness to provide support and to reach needs that these folks have. We took over funding for the MCOT, or Mobile Crisis Outreach Teams, that had been funded, but were losing their funding in their other agency. They dispatch counseling services through a hotline to people who are in danger of hurting themselves or others, wherever they might be, and providing a conduit toward resources. We've joined with other entities, the Travis County, St. David's, Seton Hospital, other folks in the community, to fund a pay-for-success innovative model that is going to be among the first of its kind, to deal with an investor-backed fund that's going to enable supportive, permanent supportive housing for some of our most chronically homeless individuals, many of whom struggle with mental health challenges. We're moving forward to find dedicated funding streams. One of the components of the convention center expansion that we're considering in town is to come up with a $5 to $10 million annual funding stream. We're reaching into the increased capacity of the Waller Creek Linear Park. Looks like there's $30 million we can pull out of the tax increment funding there to help build and construct permanent supportive housing or shelters. And then I think, importantly, the action that the council took in June. There's a lot of publicity, as you say, about the part of the action that said we're no longer going to criminalize people camping, sitting, or lying. If we don't have an answer to the question, then where should I go? That was part of what the council did in June. But at the same June meeting, the council moved to purchase a piece of property in the South Austin to make available. And it passed a resolution having the city manager coming back in August, at our, you know, the month of our next meeting, to come back with how we might advance these policies moving forward, how we would find new locations, how we would find safe parking areas overnight for people who are sleeping in their cars, to find ability to store possessions and papers for people that are experiencing homelessness on our streets, as well as coming up with appropriate time and place restrictions and allowances for where people in the community can be, that is tied to and part of providing safe places for people to be.
Okay, and so you mentioned, you know, what it is that you are trying to learn from, you know, from other mayors, from other cities. So are there examples that we can look to, other cities who have enacted such a policy that that show, you know, the kind of positive outcomes that we're hoping that this policy can deliver, particularly for mental health?
You know, it's hard. One, we're talking to dozens and dozens of other cities to try to learn best practices and new ideas and opportunities for us. It's interesting to note that Austin right now is the best practice for doing things like housing homeless children on our streets, because our track record exceeds everyone else's. The single most direct corollary between the number of folks that are experiencing homelessness in a city is increase in the rise of the median-priced home. So as the cost of housing increases, it becomes harder and harder for people that have any measure of additional challenge to be able to navigate providing housing, which is why you find not only people that have run into the perfect storm of losing a spouse and a job, but folks that are dealing with the challenges of mental health. So in fast-growing cities where the property values are increasing dramatically, it's hard to find really good models of things that are working other than investing in housing, shelters, and permanent supportive housing for people. But that really does seem to be the key, and then accompanying that housing with the supporting services that people need.
Okay. So what are some concerns or misconceptions about the new policy that you would like to address?
I think there are a lot of misconceptions about what the council did in June. In fact, that's most the misconceptions seem to be most of what I'm dealing with during the month of July. It's important for people to know that the city council did in decriminalizing just being homeless. The council did not decriminalize any conduct that serves to present a public safety risk or a public health hazard. We did nothing to allow but maintain all our provisions to protect private property in our community. We maintained our ordinances to stop anybody from impeding or blocking. We maintained ordinances to stop people from aggressively confronting people and threatening them. So a lot of the things that you've heard that we see otherwise on social media are just wrong. We also have seen a lot of pictures that appear to be staged of folks that are experiencing homelessness, staging pictures out in front of a discount tire store. There was the false accusation that a traffic accident that had happened on the street was caused by two folks experiencing homelessness running out into the street. That was one of the items that the governor retweeted. I think his staff just really hadn't done the homework to realize that that also was not true. It just so happens that accident took place just outside of our police station, so we have lots of cameras available and we're able to conclusively show that accident was caused by somebody running a red light. But it is those false moments that I think are set up to scare people or to dehumanize people or to demonize people that you really want to push against. And then most people don't know that in addition to decriminalizing just the act of homelessness unaccompanied with any other behavior that deserves being illegal and is illegal, that we also passed a resolution asking for a comprehensive plan dealing with homelessness. But specifically in August, the first month of us coming back, asking the manager to come up with four or five really specific things that deal with where people can or cannot camp in a community or can or cannot camp or sit or lie in a community to ensure that people have healthy, safe places to be. So there were a lot of things we did in June. People are talking about one little piece of what we did out of context with what we did overall. But I guess that part is even better than the people that are claiming we did things or led to things that have nothing to do with what we did.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned social media. I mean, Austin, I guess, being in a lot of people's minds, the liberal, the PC capital, I mean, heck, of the Southwest. And so I guess we tend to get that kind of attention anyway. And so I guess I'm not that surprised having this particular issue to fasten onto that you're running into that kind of thing.
Well, it doesn't surprise me that we are. It's always unfortunate. You also have to recognize that as we look at social media here in town, we rarely know how many of the people replying are actually from this town. I think there are a lot of people participating that are some distance away.
Absolutely.
I think there are some people that are participating for political organizing reasons independent of anything having to do with the substance of what we're talking about. But mostly you have to believe, as I started way earlier in this conversation, you have to trust in doing right and doing what is responsible. We have a homelessness challenge in our city. Some things we're doing are helping. We need to keep doing those things and expand on them and scale them. Some things we're doing are not helpful and in fact hurting. And when we identify what those things are, we need to stop doing them, even if it makes some people uncomfortable because we've stopped doing something. It's better for us to actually do things that are helping. And that's what this council is doing. We're right in what we're doing, and we're getting a lot of support for what we're doing. And we have to sometimes continue on recognizing that there will always be objections to change.
Okay, so Governor Abbott is already threatening to overturn the ordinance, or to do whatever it is that he can to, you know, to make that happen. How are you hoping to have a constructive dialogue with state legislators and indeed the governor about this issue?
Well, I think that by the time the legislature meets again in a year and a half, that the overall policies, the comprehensive plan that the city of Austin is beginning to and continuing to move forward on, will be something that makes the governor proud and is something that, because of the results we're able to achieve, will be something that he's going to want to scale to have other cities adopt. And it may even be something that the state looks at and says that it wants to support. When I was in LA last week, they had just learned that their payment help assistance from the state had gone up to $145 million. Be really nice to have state support in dealing with the homelessness challenge. There's a bill at the federal level to bring $30 billion to cities. I hope something like that bill passes to bring those kinds of resources to cities. This is a problem that is not an Austin challenge. This challenge crosses city lines and state lines. It is something that lots of cities now are dealing with. I believe that what we are doing will give us the kinds of results that other cities and our state and our governor are going to want to see.
Okay. So, like I said a minute ago, this is not the first episode that we have done that addresses the link between homelessness and well-being. I mentioned the episode that we did back in April, looking at the other end of the equation, housing, the vital role that it plays in mental health and well-being. So I will include a link to that, plus some other resources on housing policy and mental health in the episode description. Mayor Adler, thank you so much. I know it's been a long day for you. We really appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts with us.
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to people.